Chuck and Greg, I haven't talked to you in a while, and I thought I'd say hello and see how Technorama was doing.
Pedro!
Who are you, mister?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yes. I think I saw one of your películas, your movies.
Pulp Fiction, Star Wars, and The Incredibles.
I'm just baking another cake for Chuck and Craig. They do such a good job.
Stop wasting all your free time making a mess in the kitchen.
What are you talking about, Mr. Samuel?
I'm talking about snakes on a plane.
Snakes on what? What you mean as snakes?
I know that sounds crazy, but I don't give a damn because snakes on a plane!
I think you're loco, Mr. Jackson. You've been sitting in your bathtub too long. Last time I went in that bathtub, I got bald hair.
For God's sake, quit waxing your big bald head. Just hop on that greasy bike, go get your homeboy, Charles and Craig, and go see Snakes on a Plane. Snakes on a Plane! Snakes on a Plane!
If you ask me, you need to get your geek on.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Gotta puke!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
We're off to a great start tonight, aren't we? Welcome
yes,
to
we
Technorama, the show that sounds like it was put together at the last minute.
Nah, because it was.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 132 for Monday, August 14th, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. Hope you enjoy it. Sit back, relax, have a good time. If you're a returning listener, boy, what can I say about you other than thanks?
Yeah, appreciate it, bud.
I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my trusty co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing better now that I'm drinking his beer.
What? You weren't doing so well before.
No, now I'm perking up.
Prior to the show, Craig was having some technical difficulties of his own, only they were in the brain department.
Yeah, now it's Miller time.
Hang on, let me pull up the website. And instead of going to chuckchat.com/technorama, he tried going to technorama.com, which won't get you there, by the way.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Tried to get you that, tried to get that domain, but it's not coming cheaply, and that's with the department
Chuck's
we're
like,
in.
Hey, what's that banner at our site? Oh, let me go look. Technorama.com. What am I doing?
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got Star Trek All Around, a trip inside a C-130 cargo plane, and a lot of last-minute additions. Set your phasers on fun. Let's go. On this day in tech history for August 13th, 2006. This is August 13th. It's the 225th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 140 days remaining in the year 2006. It was on this date in 3114 BC, according to the Lounsbury correlation, the Maya calendar starts. And on this day in 1521, Tenochtitlan, the present-day Mexico City, falls to conquistador Hernan Cortes. Harry Brearley invents stainless steel on this date in 1913. And the first major seagoing ship arrives in Gdynia, the newly constructed Polish seaport on this date in 1923. On this date in 1940, the Luftwaffe launches a series of attacks on British fighter bases and radar installations. Walt Disney's fifth animated feature, Bambi, premieres on this date in 1942. And on this date in 1946, English writer H.G. Wells passes away. Radio Pakistan broadcasts the national anthem of Pakistan for the first time on this date in 1954. And in 1991, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System debuts in the USA. Also debuting on this date in 1997, South Park debuts on Comedy Central. Category 4 Hurricane Charley strikes Punta Gorda, Florida, and devastates the surrounding area on this date in 2004. And also on this date in 2004, this is the 2-year anniversary of podcasting, because this is the date Adam Curry first launched the Daily Source Code. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1625 to Rasmus Bartholin, the Danish physician, mathematician, and physicist. Also born on this date in 1814, Anders Jonas Engström, the Swedish physicist, and French physicist Georges Gabriel Stokes was born on this date in 1819. Nobel Prize winning German chemist Richard Willstatter was born on this date in 1872. And Scottish television pioneer John Logie Baird was born in 1888. English film director Sir Alfred Joseph Hitchcock was born on this date in 1899. And finally, happy birthday to Felix Wankel, the German engineer and inventor, born on this date in 1902. And last but not least, this is International Left-Handers Day. This podcast is left-hand friendly. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for August 13th, 2006.
Rev Tim.
This is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your headphones tightly to your ears. Your MP3 treat is coming in the form of Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat.
We are back, and we have we've had listener feedback, but it's been more of a conversational email kind of thing.
Hey, how's it going? What's up?
Yeah, here's some pictures for the expo. Thanks, man. Those are doing well. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can send email to chuck@chuckchat.com or put Chuck Chat
in large media files.
In large media files, too. They now work. I'll take them. Whatever you got. Yeah. Not large, large. Not like 2 gig movie file attachments.
Here's Superman Returns. Let me email that.
You can put Chuck Chat in your Skype buddy list, and it'll pick up on the answering machine. Or you can use the traditional voicemail line at 206-222-2428. That also spells chat, just to make things easier on you. So with that, I'm going to give a shout out to the chat room, which is buzzing tonight. If you happen to be around on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, U.S., sometime. We usually start around 8:30 Central, but people are in the chat room hours ahead of time. This is a great community.
Chuck,
yes.
We start at 9:30 Eastern.
Any opinions expressed on this program are purely mine. We got Captain Rootbeer. Welcome, Captain Rootbeer. We haven't, that's a new name for us.
He tastes good. He's been in here
Michelle,
before.
Michelle, a.k.a. Country Signs. Deck just showed up. It's gonna be a good show. Frank DeFixer, Kevin Devon, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Sam Jack. We've got both pieces of the In the Trenches crew in the chat room.
Yep.
Scafey, you, me, Tim Elliott, Karen from California, Douglas E. Welch,
and
Zahadoom.
Hey, by the way, you know what? I think if we ever had a touch football game with all these people, I think we should get our football team. I think we should make them wear their chat names on the back of those jerseys.
You know that'll never happen.
There's Sam Jack number 62.
You know that'll never happen because geeks and sports usually don't go together.
No, but we could do a fantasy football team.
As proof that I'm a struggling at my golf game.
It was the curse I threw on you.
We do have... No, I'm sorry. We don't have anybody in the listener birthday calendar this week again.
Nobody is born today.
If you are a listener and you've been listening for a while, sit down at your computer, go to chuckchat.com/wiki, click on Fun and Games, enter your name into the listener birthday calendar, and we will give you a personalized happy birthday wish. The 11th was Steve Wozniak's birthday. We interviewed him earlier this week, so I sent him a happy birthday card.
Oh, did you really?
Well, I sent him a happy birthday email. It's 2006.
He's got the filter on. You probably won't ever see it.
No, I did validate, so... He should see it. We'll see what happens. So, happy birthday, Woz. He's 56 today, I believe.
Mm.
Or 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, that's cool.
Shall we march on with the news?
Yes.
Okay. Here comes the news! Look out!
The FAA and Homeland Security officials find the perfect solution to thwart airline terrorist attacks. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Quirity reporting. In light of recent terrorist plots, the Federal Aeronautics Administration and the Department of Homeland Security have created a plan to resolve all future attempts of terrorists to take over airplanes while speeding up the security process by completely eliminating security checkpoints in airports. These words from Homeland Security official Kip Ottohier.
What we've come up with is to send the luggage and carry-ons via separate cargo plane, sedate all passengers, then strip them naked and duct tape them to the seat. We don't anticipate any problems with terrorism going forward.
In other news, after the announcement, stock in 3M, the world's largest manufacturer of duct tape, went sky high, so to speak. Chip Quirity for Technorama News.
Thanks, Chip. Wow.
Yes.
I'm really thrilled at how our government is working today.
Yeah. And that Chip, he's a real quack crack reporter.
Okay. Also, in other real news, you know the Mentos, Diet Coke, or Diet Pepsi geysers that people have been doing? I think we've done a couple of stories on those on Technorama before.
Who hasn't been talking about Mentos and Diet Coke?
Okay. Well, they are actually now embracing this by launching a video contest. The video contest is sponsored by Mentos. You could win 1,000 iTunes song downloads and a year's supply of what else? Mentos!
And Diet Coke?
I don't know.
You know, that would be cool if I had a year's supply of Diet Coke and Mentos. Man, I would have a killer show.
Yeah, that's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, isn't it?
You know what? You know what I do? I pour it all in a big vat, and then throw, you know, a helicopter come out and dump all the Mentos in at one time.
I'd load them from the bottom and launch the rocket to the moon.
Yeah. Hey NASA, we got another alternative to launch the shuttle.
Private citizen puts man on the moon. I'm Chip Quirity.
Oh, man.
Now, you also said that the Mythbusters recently did something on this.
Yes. Yeah. Just a show last night. You know, I guess earlier in the year, the Mentos thing was really big, so it's kind of died down a little bit. But, you know, their shows are a little bit behind. But, however, I was watching it, and they were talking about how just sweeping the internet, the story about the Mentos and the Diet Coke, but they decided to go and determine what was doing it. And it turns out all the news reports that people have been, they've always had an expert on there explaining, well, and what is what causes it. But Adam said his research shows that everybody had a little bit of the correct information, but nobody had the whole story.
Oh.
So it's like one guy would say, oh, it's because of this. And the other guy would say, it's because of that. Well, it's actually because of several things. So if you've got it on your TiVo, or, you know, you can go BitTorrent the show. You know, you can go check it out and see it. It's really cool. But then they talk. Then they, not only do they do that, I mean, you can't do a whole hour show just on Mentos and Diet Coke. They decided to see how far they could make it go in the sky. First, they went 22 feet. Then they made it all the way at close to 40. It's like 39 feet. They had the not tape measure, but they had the measurement along the side of their building at M5. And then they had an extension, like a 4-foot extension beyond that. And they had something else above that. And they were hitting about 39 feet, I think. It was It was a pretty cool show, yeah. And the helicopter part was cool too, but about stamps on a helicopter blade, if it'll make it crash, go check that out.
Snakes on a helicopter.
They were wrapping snow stamps, not snakes.
Oh, sorry.
Stamps on a plane.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. They're all highly egg-shaped. With me, way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard, is my co-host, Craig Stapp.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. We want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar.
I thought he was a dog.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
I did a service call, and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working.
That's enough of these podcasts.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama, tech without BSOD.
Hacks and strange stories. We have several hacks and strange stories. I'm going to let you kick it off.
Yeah, over in Gadget, they had this story. It looks like somebody tried to buy what they thought was a USB thumb drive on the streets in China. But actually, or in Beijing, when they got it home, it didn't work. Well, they cracked open the case, and all it is the head of a USB cable that's been cut off, glued inside of the thing. So it looks like a USB connector sticking out, but when you open it up, it looks like a cable.
You're selling bogus USB thumb drives?
Go look at the picture. Right on the front there, you can see the cable has just been cut and stuck, glued in there.
Keeping it real. WTF. Oh, nice! Where'd they get the plastic enclosure?
I don't know, but you think if they went through that much trouble, they'll just stick the stupid thumb drive in there.
Dude, that's what you get when you buy your device. It's a wireless adapter, in this case, on the street in Beijing. Actually, we ran into this in our Chinese bureau, and they said it was probably a hoax, which somehow makes it all the more appropriate for keeping it real fake. Yikes.
I just thought it looked funny.
You pay what you get for. You get what you pay for. Next one is to hack a pigeon. What?
You know, you can hack all kinds of things. You can hack your life. You can hack your computer. You can hack your kid. But
don't hack your kids. The
no.
Child thing, people will come around.
The keyboard wouldn't stick under his arm. I don't know. Anyway, pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog. Looks like somebody was trying to get some pigeon with a cell phone technology, maybe GPS stuff, and take to the sky and sending air quality data back as some kind of whimsical project, so they say.
Pigeons with backpacks and cell phones will be taken to the sky sending air quality data to... I did hear about this. A blog as part of a whimsical project that blends science, art, and activism. I think I heard about this a while ago.
Yeah.
When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent because Skype wants to play bad.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm back?
Yeah.
I did a killer pigeon imitation. You didn't hear that? What'd he say?
That was...
Anyway, hey, remember a few years ago, they were talking about using pigeons to carry packet data.
Didn't we do a spoof on that?
I don't know about the spoof, but they did. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet, and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg, and then they send it. And then once it got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet
because it's really secure.
Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute.
Yeah. 2 BPM.
Last story. Last story. Make a wireless LCD in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know about 5 minutes because my electronic, what do you call it? I don't know. Whatever. I cannot that good at it. That's the word I'm looking for. Anyway, but he has it laid out the whole how you need to lay out the circuit board and everything, and he's got a controller in like a black and white LCD screen, like could be from an old laptop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using it wirelessly, so you can put the screen somewhere else, which I think is kind of cool. You know, especially if you go if you need to send some data like through a concrete wall.
Slow down.
Hello, my name's Craig. So anyway, you can take a look at it. It looks pretty cool, and he gets everything you need and how to do it. So
5 minutes. We'll see if that's got a little video. But
that he's got a little neat. Flash video. Anyway, what I was trying to say was, if you've got a place where you have some data at, and you need to either look at a status screen or something like that, maybe you can send that kind of information to a screen where you don't have to pull a cable to. You know, if it's in the near vicinity.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you're monitoring a server or something. I don't know.
Another quick break. We'll be back in the media corner.
Guten Morgen. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I'm driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Chat Technorama podcast with his little friend, Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And the first thing we found in the media corner were these inspirational Star Trek posters. You know the posters that companies usually hang around the office to say, you know, endure, and it, you know, has a guy biking up the side of the mountain to try and inspire you to do more. Well, these are in that same format, black background with pictures of Star Trek scenes from original series and movies and whatnot. Things like Captain James T. Kirk. I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of how awesome I am.
Yeah. Or Ben Tocatra says, you don't mind, do you? I'm in kind of a hurry. And this guy, Spock, putting his Katra in McCoy.
Picture a Chekhov with that little worm thing from Wrath of Khan on his face, just as it was about to crawl into his ear. It says, in space, everyone can hear you scream.
Hey, well, my favorite, expendability. Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Ensign Ricky are beaming down to the planet. Guess who's not coming back? Ricky's got the red shirt.
I love that one. Picture of Nomad. You remember the robot that went out? Nomad says, Nomad, see the universe, meet interesting people, and kill them. You might as well put a picture of Bender on that poster. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? He kind of looks like Bender.
Hey!
I like this one, sexual tension. It's got Spock and Kirk looking at each other. Says, what? You don't see it?
I think my favorite is still the one, you know, from the Tantalus colony where they had that spinning light on the ceiling where they could control people's minds. It says, Tantalus, you don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps.
So, hey, and before we go on, I got to say something about one more. I almost thought it said Technorama, but it says Technofear. If you're afraid of the transporter, if you have nothing but contempt for computers, maybe outer space isn't for you, dude.
Well, we've read just about every one of them, but there are more there. Check the link in the show notes and have some fun.
Hey, I do want to throw out there, if nobody's seen it, I think everybody on the internet just about has. Instead of inspirational posters, go to despair.com. Have you seen those?
I think I have.
Yeah,
it sounds very familiar.
Yeah, some of them have like they have pictures on there, and it says what was the one, procrastination. Some people like to do things now, but I think anyway, I'll find it.
Okay,
screwed up.
Next link you've got here.
That was deflating, wasn't it?
High-risk pictures from the 30s and more. Wow, where did these come from?
Yeah, if you go into... This is a thread over at Dig, and this is probably one of the more intelligible threads on Dig I've seen in a while. But the picture someone posted from... It was a picture in Wikipedia from about circa 1930s in London.
Based on the cars, I'd say that's about right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a high-res picture, color picture, no less, of London. Well, then people started poking around by that guy's name who posted that, and he has several other ones on there look, you know, just as interesting.
Neat.
Not more. It turns out that some of his family had been pioneering in photography, so that's why a lot of them are color, especially as good color as they are. And there were some other people posted other pictures in the thread or links to pictures that not from the same person, but others that were also interesting as well. So I thought I would throw this in there. Like I said, that was the most informative thread I've seen on Dig since I started visiting the site.
Easy, big boy.
But hey, it was good.
No, those are great pictures. I like those. I'm going to have to look at more of them. And I have a link from Tim Johns, listener Tim Johns in Australia, sent me one. It's called Behind the Scenes of Annihilation. This is a student who was in a film class, and he said, I'm going to make a film called Annihilation, but I'm going to do it all entirely on sticky notes.
What?
The yellow post-it notes.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, yes.
He was going to draw each frame on there, and he was going to do an entire full-length feature animation on those sticky notes, and then he's going to flip it and photograph these, right? That was his project, but he never finished. So what he did is he turned this how-to film into his project, and I don't know what kind of grade he got, but the film is still forthcoming, and he does have a starting of it at the end. Most of it is just intro. The Earth, it's millions of years old, and millions of tons, and here it sits. It was really funny. Well done, but funny.
Hey, in other news, he was let go from his job for abusing office property.
My favorite scene in there, I think, is when he says, looks like I picked the wrong week to stop drinking syrup. And he starts drinking the Aunt Jemima out of the bottle.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's funny. Oh, by the way, I want to try and fix myself here. At despair.com, I found the one I was talking about. It's called Apathy. If we don't take care of our customer, maybe they'll stop bugging us.
Not the right customer attitude.
No, that's the fun part.
All right, we did find out that TV Land is set to re-air Star Trek's original series starting November 17th. Cool. So I'm looking
forward to that.
TiVo going to be set up for that because I still have on VHS all of the originals except for three. I recorded these years and years ago.
That's pretty good. Am I not mistaken, and I'm going to ask the collective mind known as the Technorama listeners, didn't the Sci-Fi Channel air like the cleaned up and digitally enhanced, whatever, original series, and they had commentary and all that? I forget what they called it. It wasn't like Star Trek 2.0, but it was something like that. I just wanted somebody to collaborate.
I thought they did like digitally remaster them or something, now that you mention it, but again, this one goes out to the listener collective.
It was back in 98 or 99. It was in like 98 or 99 when they did this. Something like that.
Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ask the collective. Maybe that's what we have. We don't have an army. We don't have a brigade. We have a collective.
3 of 6. Report in.
And finally, from Gizmodo, you found a Wi-Fi router. Tell me about this.
Yeah, this looks interesting. It responds as an iTunes client. It has a 160 gig hard drive in it.
Really?
And supports BitTorrent.
Oh?
Yeah. Oh, do tell. I thought this looked interesting. So you don't have to have your PC on or anything to handle, you know, you could set it up and do downloads and stuff like that.
When it comes to routers, I'm just going to dry read this real quick. Bear with me. When it comes to routers, well, Giz really falls in love. Oh, Giz.
Giz.
Falls in love.
The Gizmodo
site. For that sort of net pipe lane gadgetry. But this Asus Wi-Fi router looks like something we could really get used to living with. It has a built-in network iTunes client, so it'll show up as an iTunes client to your PCs, and it also has BitTorrent client that can rip down 7 streams automatically and 10 FTP or web streams at the same time. That's with your PC off. All downloads handled by the router. And there's a lot more. If you act now, you'll also get the Ginsu knives.
Yeah. It slices and dices and...
makes thousands and thousands of julienne fries, whatever those are.
Yes.
So, that looks cool. Did they have a price? I didn't check.
I don't see it on
here. Didn't see a price. Sounds like it... I'm going to guess with a 160 gig drive.
Actually, that's peanuts now, really.
I know. Yeah, because you can get like a 250 for about $80. I'm going to say this thing's probably going to go between $75 and $100. Your bid on the Price is Right?
$3, please.
Come on up and kiss Bob Barker. You win. With that, we're going to take another quick break and rejoin you on the backside of our C-130 short tour.
Hey baby. Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are. It's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior not disgustingly displayed. I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons. Well, it's not a high-res butt. Kids, you could end up like Craig. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchain.com. Send audio comments.
Have you been drinking tonight? Leave the podcasting to the professionals.
This is Peggy from Twister Sisters, and tonight you're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama. And I hear this is just going to blow you away.
Steve, where are we?
We are in a giant cargo plane. I don't know what is this one? C-130, Hercules.
This thing is massive, but we're going to see bigger ones potentially.
Yep. C5 is here, the Galaxy, the big one. This is the workhorse of all cargo planes. They use everything from hauling men and supplies to tanks and vehicles, small vehicles. This one's set up, they have the jump seats up, which the three young ladies that are traveling with us today are in. They have the rope line here that you hook your parachute up to. Big gates down. It's very impressive. It's a very efficient use of space, wouldn't you say? Every nook and cranny, they can put something in there, something there.
We're even standing on what appear to be little cargo compartments.
Oh, looks like Lisa's all buckled in, ready for flight here, and I think she wants to go.
I've heard of people taking trips across on Uncle Sam's dollar across the country on these things. They say it's a long, uncomfortable trip. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've heard, though the crews are usually the only ones that are forced to do that, but if you look at some of these jump seats, you can manipulate them into beds, and it looks like it's all nylon material between metal frames with webbing. I don't think it'd make for a good 18-hour flight.
Kind of like a fold-out cot.
Yeah. I would just get an air mattress and lay it on the floor if it wasn't packed full of cargo.
Now, the cargo space in here, you could literally drive a fair-sized truck in here.
I believe you could get your minivan here, Chuck.
Sounds like a good way to get home.
Yep.
Cheap, too.
Just drop out the back over your house with a chute on it.
And hope the suspension holds.
Geek Thoughts.
I'm not antisocial. I'm just not user-friendly.
But this show is user-friendly. Stick with us. You'll find out how.
Yes.
You were saying about the clip?
Yeah, about your C-130s, or the C-130. I had a friend I used to take to work. This is pre-September 11th. I'm sure they wouldn't let me go in there now, but I would take him into work. He worked at the Air National Guard in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I took him to work a couple of times. And I go to his basin or his area, part of the base, and drop him off. And I was driving my way back, unsupervised. You know, now that there's no way they would let me in.
Yep.
But I was driving out, and I looked over to the side, and there's the airfield, and there was like rows. I bet there was 5 or 6 rows of C-130s. And you know, those things are, wow, are huge. You know, those things are huge, like you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And but they looked so surreal sitting there. It was like that scene in, you know, Gone with the Wind, where everybody's, all the soldiers and everybody's laying out in the grass, and they pan out, and it's huge.
I don't remember any C-130s in Gone with the Wind.
No, man. Follow me here. I said soldiers. You know, the soldiers, you know, they pan out, and it's like a big field, right? And they got all the soldiers laying out. It's kind of like that. It was like, looks so surreal because they're so big, and there were so many of them. It was really cool to see.
You could tell by the level of lightness, I don't know what you want to call it, the state of humor that Steve and I were in, that we kind of do that all the time. It's not just this show with Craig and me. It's that's the way it is around here. It's just one smart aleck comment after another. And
Technorama
was born. All right. Also in the Geek Library, we have a link to blogspot.com. R-101. Hey, that's kind of interesting. 101.
Yeah. Yes.
With a visual tour of the evolution of the desktop, starting with the Macintosh System 1 and going right through to, well, what we hope will be Vista someday. But very interesting tour of that stuff. It
Yet to prove that.
Doesn't look like a whole lot of change in Mac OS from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You start to see a little bit more in 6 and 7 is a bit of a change. And well, Windows,
you know what?
Windows 1.0 and 2.0, I got to tell you, they were butt ugly.
Yes. Oh, man. And I saw, you know, Windows 3.0, like, as Windows groups and all that for so long, that look, you know, when web was actually Windows, like, they got listed here as Windows 3.1, but that same kind of look for so long, man. I got so tired of it. And then I got 95 and had that same look until...
They still
even
do.
Through XP. Yeah. It's like, oh, man. But you know what's funny is if you look back at the OS X one, and even the Windows one, you look at any of those, it's like even the early ones, you can still see echoes of what you've got today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the Finder. You go back and look at the OS X ones, there's like all the stuff was listed on the side there. One of those pictures that had all the shortcuts to the drives and stuff all in one place. It's kind of funny.
You know what's funny is that seems like it's thousands and thousands of years ago in computer time, but it was only, you know, 20 years, 22 years. That's not that long ago. But yet in computer time, that's, you know, Precambrian Mesozoic stuff.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth. Wish they would have ate Windows 3.1.
All right.
But you know,
I see I remember in the wiki. I see the word free. What have you got free?
Oh, this is a link to a website. They're offering free stickers. Actually, it's straight pointing to Dig. It's a link I found on Dig, but they're offering free stickers that says powered by Ubuntu. So if you run Ubuntu or something like that, and you want those little stickers that says, you know, it's like those little stickers that say you know, this run powered by Windows XP or something like that. It's one of those little tiny thumb size picture. I can't even make a sentence tonight. God.
Slow down.
Go get a sticker that's powered by Ubuntu Linux and be proud. That's free. You just send a self stamped envelope thingy.
Would you like me to take the last story?
Yeah.
Student releases iProcrastinate homework organization application. This is at CraigOtis.com. It's called iProcrastinate, which immediately implies it's an Apple application. I thought it was a fascinating name because I've thought of something like that before. iProcrastinate was written by myself entirely in Cocoa using Core Data Framework. Never
it took
mind.
Me six he years to...
he didn't take iEnglish, but... And results in a very...
He obviously doesn't... he obviously doesn't procrastinate that much. He wrote the app.
That's well, this page was written with Pages or iWeb. Very fast application. Helps lazy students keep track of their homework, big projects, etc. Just in time for the coming school year. And nothing beats free. Give it a try and see how you like it. If you have any comments, suggestions, etc., please don't hesitate to email me at craigotis@gmail.com. Oops. Please note that this product is universal and requires Mac OS X 10.4 or greater. Features, intuitive UI, no complicated features, active development team, but built by students for students, and it's free.
Hey, check it out. On his to-do list is his current class assignments. Lab work with Kevin.
Kevin, so you've got lab work to do.
Some guy's going to meet with you tomorrow.
Craig Otis. Do you know him?
Yeah, Craig Otis. I don't know him. All us Craigs know each other. We all look alike.
Okay. Some can put sentences together.
Duh.
Okay, we're still looking for pictures for the expo presentation. Many of you have sent in pictures. Others have sent in promises. We're still looking to follow
easy
up
to
on
say in
promises.
A chuck.
So, if you haven't sent one, please send me one. We have a couple weeks left to put this presentation together. I am thrilled to death that everybody is getting involved, and this is a presentation about how to get listeners more involved. Well, this will prove it actually works. So please send your pictures in. If you want to send those to chuck@chuckchat.com, I would be thrilled. If you want to get in touch with Craig, craig@chuckchat.com. You can contact us on the listener line, as mentioned earlier in this podcast, at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. And the website for all your forum swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more can be found at www.chuckchat.com. This show is a member of, oh, that was a little loud, member of friendsintech.com. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. How intuitive. Forums for all the member shows, including this one, are at forums.friendsintech.com. Audio streaming tonight was provided by Scott Reynolds.
Chat room was by freenode.net.
Yo.
In the media corner.
If you're getting this show, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, don't forget, subscribe to the show with a feed reader and your iPod caster thing.
That's right. We got a lot of news that Marv has been putting in the regular feed. So go to Technorama at chuckchat.com/Technorama and get all the stuff. Good stuff there. Tell a friend about Technorama. And, there was one other thing that just slipped my mind. But, there's a technical error in this show. If you didn't pick it out, send us an email. Go back and listen. You'll find it. Until next time, binary high five.
10. What?
The FAA and Homeland Security officials find the perfect solution to thwart airline tourist attacks. Tourists? Airplanes, while speeding up... Oh, shit. In light of recent terrorist plots, the Federal Aeronautics Administration and Department of Homeland Security... In light of recent terrorist plots, the Federal Aeronautics... ...of terrorists to take over plans... By completely eliminating... By completely annihilating...